You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart, now and always.
In the last 2-3 weeks, I've counseled God knows how many couples in church and outside church. It's unfortunate that many people do not come to these kind of meetings where you can hear and we can help. Brethren, challenges are real outside the church walls. Homes are breaking. Those that are not breaking have cracks, very visible cracks. When I say cracks, church members can see the cracks. Church leaders can see the cracks. It has come to me that part of the reasons why we're not even helping is because we're hurting. So a person that is also bruised, wounded, and sad may not be able to give you joy. So many of us do not know, including me, that even those we expect to help are also crying. Those you expect to heal are also hurting. Those you expect to build have cracks in their own homes. And at that point in time, they can't be of any help to others. Because at that point, they are also saying, I feel you, brother. I feel you, sister. So if a sister is talking to a sister, instead of a sister helping a sister out, she's going the route of, I feel you. And the truth is, she really does feel her. And so she's saying, I feel you, meaning I'm going through mine. I wish I could get some help. Because I'm a deaconess, I'm a leader, I'm a brother, I'm a sister in church, does not mean I'm immune to societal pressure, to emotional burdens, to issues around. Now, I told you this before, and I don't know if it's possible to teach 24 Wednesdays in a year just on marriage. If we do that, I doubt if we'll be offending God or if we'll not be helping ourselves. I was sharing my thought with somebody this afternoon. I said, the Bible says in Hebrews that we have not an high priest, meaning the pastor's office, who cannot be touched is the key word, with the feelings of our infirmities. So I said, my desire is to be a pastor, a priest, that can be touched, not immune, because the word touch means you must be touched. So he's talking about you. So when you look at the office of the priesthood that Christ gave us, Jesus is our high priest. He can be touched. You know when you build an immunity around yourself, that whatever happens to people around you, you don't feel it. It's not bad. Touched with the feelings of their infirmities. Now, people have feelings. So I would rather have a pastor who's got feelings than a pastor who's still. So if you ask me, and that's me, that's who I am, because that's scriptural. So if you ask me, between this pastor who's married and that who's not married, who should teach me marriage, I will get to know that who's married. I don't want to just hear theory. I want you to share with me your experiences. If I see a woman who's not articulate enough, who's not a great teacher or preacher, but who's been married for 30 years, and someone who's just on 2-3 years, I said, let me hear from the voice of experience. It may not be a good one, maybe a bad one, but I still would like to hear from someone who I think should be able to feel what I feel. We live in a day and an age where people no longer talk about feelings. We only speak about it over social media. And it's killing us. Because the truth is, we all have feelings. People that come to church Sunday in, Sunday out have feelings. Some of the feelings are depressive. I mean, not depression. Some are hurting. Some is anger, bitterness, envy, forgiveness. Different kind of things. We all have feelings. God created creatures to have feelings. So sometimes we act as if we don't have feelings. We all have feelings. And if you want to define, like I think it was Harvard, a group in Harvard, that did a study on major ingredients of happiness in America. You know, the ingredients that defines a happy man. And they found out that home front is more important for them to be defined as a happy person. For you to say you're a happy man, they check your marketplace, they check your work, check other things, check your health, and then but they check your home. So even if you are sick, you have cancer, but you have peace at home, they found out that such people are happier than those that have no cancer, but have no peace at home. So in terms of defining happiness, it's almost said that those of us that have happy homes are happier than those that don't have happy homes. that don't have peace at home. So we should not play with our emotional lives. I am very concerned with your spiritual life. Yes, I know we should be thinking about heaven. I want you to go to heaven in peace, not in pieces. Praise God. But I should not ignore your word, emotional life. I don't want to be like a deeper life preacher or a first square apostle who's going to teach you only doctrines of baptism and the Holy Ghost, salvation and then adoption and all those things. And I ignore that the fact that you have a wife who's nagging at home or a husband who's unfaithful at work. And I want to act like you should just sleep there. But sir, I'm going through strife. The Bible says no divorce. I know. What should I do now about the issues at hand? Just pray about it. What's the prayer point? That God should kill him? Because that can be a prayer point. Don't tell me just pray about it. Pray about what? Counseling in America is big business. There are people that are trained to counsel people. And you pay between $100 and $500 per hour to see them. To see them. They just sit down with you, and all they do per hour is to listen to you. And when they listen to you, they tell you what you should do. And you just clock out, and you're paying. You're just paying the money. And pastors are supposed to take that role. Or church leaders, you and I. Because people are going through hell. So this month, I don't want to approach these issues doctrinally. I keep saying the word doctrinally. I was talking to my father in the Lord yesterday. I had a beautiful time with him. And he and I, Bishop Mike, you know, I love Bishop Mike. We have lunch almost once every week just to spend time together to play around. We just play. Just play. Not that we have anything. Just play. Just sit down and play. So when we're talking about church, so he said, Yomi, what I preached 47, he started preaching 47 years ago. What I preached 47 years ago was influenced more with my background. And so I preached no wearing of earrings, no wearing of trousers, no wearing of this. See, but I began to get closer to God. My revelations of Christ became progressive. And so I told my church a few times, about six times over the last 47 years, about to call a synod. To say, I'm changing my doctrines on this issue because I've come to find out that I taught you wrongly. So we're talking about some of our fathers that we should talk to them to change their positions. Now that revelation is progressive. You grow to know better. Praise God. You grow to know better. Now that you know better, you should begin to teach better. You shouldn't get stuck in your past. Same with marriage and relationships. I get to know better every day. There are certain things we've taught 10 years ago we may need to teach now. Because we taught people's heads. We didn't touch people's heart. And so people sit down in church and hear you week in, week out. And like, what is Reverend saying? Is Reverend aware of the pressure on me? Is Reverend just teaching this thing to fulfill all righteousness? Does Reverend have a contemporary approach to ministry or just a doctrinal approach to ministry? Is Reverend's theology not warped? How do I cope with a troublesome, quarrelsome woman? How do I deal with a violent man who beats me black and blue once a month? And I run to church and they tell me, praise the Lord, sister, the Lord will help you, give you strength to stay and cope. Cope with what? And they tell him, brother, don't beat anymore now. Which one you did? I beg, have patience. If you get anger, make you just walk away. What is the reason for your anger? Can we deal with these issues? Anger is an outburst. Anger is an outcome. Why are you angry, brother? I got no job. She disrespects me. Can we deal with disrespect? I don't just say you are angry. Why was that guy angry? And I've come to realize that not all of us have discernment, can have the gift to pick a problem. We can just deal with the issues on the outside and not deal with the root of the issues. And my heart is breaking because again, some of those that have been with us for 20 years, 12 years, 15 years, their marriages are breaking. They are encouraging separation. They are thinking about divorce. So if I stand here and I tell you I don't have a problem, I'll be lying to you. I have a problem. There's something wrong with what I've taught or with what they are believing. How can you be thinking after many years of separating. There's something wrong. And I don't want to approach these things. I know that my family month here. Praise the Lord. Can we go into groups? No, no. I want to deal with issues. We have to help ourselves. And pulpit cannot help you. You members have to have some trust in us to approach us after the pulpit, to send emails like you do. Say, Reverend, can I have one-on-one with you? This is how I feel. I had a session with one of our couples a few weeks ago, days ago. And I'm closer to the husband than the wife. So they both came to my office to talk to me. And after I heard what happened, the first question I asked the wife, I looked at her. She's a member of my church. I looked at her, eyeball to her, and I said, do you trust me? Yeah, no. You got to tell me. If you trust me, if you don't trust me, this session is off. Because if you don't trust your pastor, there's a problem. I had to spend 20 minutes to explain trust to her. If you don't trust me, I don't want to talk to you. I will recommend another pastor that you trust. So he can counsel you. Because anything I say, you will say, oh, Reverend loves Reverend. Oh, you will throw it out. You think God Reverend loves your husband. And I won't be helping you. I don't want to waste my time or waste your time. So let's first establish that it will work on the basis of trust. When I say trust, do you trust my judgments? Do you trust my sincerity that I love both of you? And I will tell you both where I think the problem is. And I'll be honest with you if it's you. And if it is him, I will blast him. And I will tell you both what you should do. She said, yes, Reverend, shoot. And I shot. And I told her where she was wrong and I blasted him more. And I said, do these things and you'll get better. And I said, see me next week. Because again, my mistake is that in the past, once I do that one session, I think it's over. No. I had to have multiple sessions with them. Because marriage is not like that. You have to have multiple sessions. What he just did was also put out the fire. The fighting, you put out the fire. That's not solving the problem. Another fire will rise tomorrow. Now, you need to have sessions with them. So that people can begin to come once a week or once in 2 weeks to not say, sir, it's getting better, it's not getting better. You told us to do it, we didn't do it, we tried that, we didn't work. Then, so he can just begin to build it and build it and build it and help them. So we don't become fire brigade, just put out fires, fires are out. Okay, we're making progress. We're not making progress. Fires should not be there in the first place. Praise God. So, and I told the person, I said, if you trust me, then you trust the manual I use. I use the Bible as my book. And that's what I'll be preaching on Sunday. If you trust me, you trust this book. I made this book here. And I have found that my heart trusts this book. It's the anchor of my soul. I've decided to obey everything this book says concerning issues, especially marriage. Sometimes it's unfair to me, unfair to the woman, but I just have to check it. Because the author of this book is also the author of marriage. And he understands the heart of man more than you and I do. And we should trust him. We should trust him. Praise God. Brethren, I want to ask you to please invite your friends to Bible study. Those that won't come. And then 2-3 months down the line, they'll start saying, I'm having issues with marriage. How could I have helped you? How? This is how we help ourselves. This is what we do here. Using this book to teach and guide us on how we should live our lives in the marketplace. In our marriages, in our homes, our relationships with our in-laws, with respect to finances and communication and many other things. I spoke to a couple and I told them that the problem is the communication. I'm preaching on communication on Sunday. I said, communication in marriage is not what you say, it's what is heard. So, and most times we think, I've said it to her, I've said it to him. No, it's what he or she heard. It's not what you think you've said. So if you shout at them and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. I've not heard you say, I love you. I thought he said, shut up. I thought he said, by Jen, see me. And I said, Reverend, ask her, didn't I say I love you? Didn't I say I love you? But what she's hearing is not, I love you. Because you don't say, I love you that way. What I'm hearing is different from what you're saying. Ask him, I said, sorry. Didn't I say sorry? Didn't I say sorry? What does you want? Tell me what the guy is hearing. Is the guy hearing sorry? Is that guy hearing sorry? She's hearing shut up. He's hearing shut up. And you say, but sir, this man wants something else. After that thing, he says, I'm sorry. Ah, hey. Are you telling me you said sorry? How many men are here that will hear sorry from that phrase? Nobody's going to hear sorry from that phrase. That way. It's not what he said, it's what he's heard. So don't tell me you've communicated with me, you haven't. And the best ones are the non-verbal communications. And that's how some men kill some women. They say, okay, stop beating, but I'll crush you. Emotional abuse. You stay at home with me for 1 week, you won't talk to me. You're crushing me. You say, I'm not talking to you. You come, you give me a cold shoulder. I ask you, what will you eat? The face, the way you look at me, speaks volumes of your hatred, the venom of your wrath. And you say, tell him, did I say anything to you? Did I utter a word? No, Baba. Utter a word is better than what you're doing right now. Is you're killing me. You're crushing me. Say something. I don't mind. I'll receive something. Just say something. It's better than the way you're looking at me, treating me. You're emotionally crushing me. You're abusing me. You're abusing me. Non-verbal communication. A touch. A look. A shoulder. A pat on the back. Many ways that we can communicate without using words. Many ways. Many ways. But today I want to share with you one or two, three things that I feel would usually break homes. And if you don't take your time, for those that are married and those not married, you can learn from it. Proverbs 14 verse 1. Every wise woman builds, my favorite verse. Every wise woman builds a house, but the foolish plucks it down with her hands. Very simple verse of scripture. In this passage, you see two women. You see a wise woman and you see a foolish woman. You see a wise woman, you see a foolish woman. You see a builder, you see a breaker. Am I right, man? You see a builder and you see a breaker. And he didn't tell us with what the wise man will build, but we can deduce that wisdom is good to build. Didn't say every beautiful woman, because most women think it's beauty we use to build homes. That's not true. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. Every wise woman will build a house, but a foolish one, the foolish one will break it down, will pluck it down, will tear it apart with our own hands. With your own hands, we tear your house, break your home. With the things you do, you now blame it on church, you blame it on pastor, you blame it on society, you blame it on everything else but you. A foolish one tears his apart. You blame it on your in-laws. It's not your in-laws, it's you. You destroyed your home. You destroyed your home, be it a man or a woman. I don't know why the sons of Solomon places emphasis on that woman here. But there's that things that men do also that will break their own house. But it's there, plucket it down with our own hands. Now, Jesus gives us a different phrase here. He used something similar in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through to 27. You know it. He says, how do I know or define a wise man? He says, a wise man is a person that receives my sayings and then will do them. If you do my sayings, you're like a man that builds your house upon a rock. Upon a rock. Upon a rock. He says, now watch me. The rain will descend on that house. Both the house of the foolish and the house of the wise will be tested. Every home will be tested by the economy, by pressures, by in-laws, by many things. The winds blew, the floods came, the rain descended upon that house. And it fell not. Why? Why? It was what? It was what? Let me hear you. Founded. Foundation. Founded upon a rock. So he gave all the reason why the house will not collapse. Foundation. It was founded. Built solid. The rock. He didn't tell us about the materials of building, but tells us about the foundation. The strength of the foundation. It was founded upon the rock. And it gives us the flip side to that particular scenario. Oh, a foolish one is the person that would hear my sayings but not do them. And so he built his own house as well. But upon a sand, the rain descended, the flood came, and the wind blew. And then it says, great was the fall of it. Why? It was built upon a sand. Sand. So if you look back to Proverbs and you come to Matthew chapter 7, you can merge both of them together and explain that, oh, this is why some houses don't stand the test of time and some homes do. some lives, because we are building our lives, not just our homes. But our home plays a critical part in our lives. Get it right now. Your matrimonial relationship, your emotional life plays a very important role. Important role. So thank God for work. Thank God for whatever else you do in life, or how else you want us to define your life. But your emotional life is very, very important. Praise God. Let me tell you the problem we all have. And listen to me, everybody. The nature of love. Listen to this truth. The nature. You need to read scriptures to discern the nature of love. Love is the fuel or the ingredient that brings us together. Oh, I love you. I like to marry you. You see young boys and young girls trying to say, I love you, love you. They don't understand what love is, by the way. Love has multiple definitions out there. But love is supposed to be the glue that keeps people together in marriages. Is that okay? Love in the first place should be the reason why we're marrying each other. Is that okay? Now, let me tell you this. Christians have forgotten or have not been taught the nature of love. Love, I found out from scriptures, grows cold and can grow hot. Revelation chapter 3. This is the major revelation for me. Major! When my marriage had a bit of crisis, we had a crisis the 6th or the 7th year of marriage. We were drifting apart. My wife was going that way, I was going this way. And I was expecting that marriage is, when you marry, to be an autopilot. Autopilot means that you just be growing happily thereafter. Because I was not taught in my own church how to keep your love aflame. We were taught in our churches, especially those that attended conservative churches, that once you're married, you're married. Marriage was like a prison. You cannot think of anything else or divorce. So if you are in it happy, praise God. If you are sad, you're cross. So the teaching we heard was, if it's bad, it's a cross you must. You carry the cross. So people carry a lot of crosses coming to church every week. And this was the cross of Jesus, the cross of marriage. You know, and I mean, I'd rather carry the cross of Jesus than the cross of marriage. You know, you could tell, and it was a heavy cross, heavy cross. So they will come like this every Sunday to church. Their back is hurting, their hand is hurting. So as they enter church, wife go this way, mother go that way. I'm carrying the cross. And throughout the sermon, they're not happy. And they leave that place, they go, and you could tell that marriage is what? Something else. Something else. But you see, because we've not taught the nature of love. Love has a nature. Love grows, and love can be cold. Revelation chapter 3 tells us that thou art neither hot nor cold. Return to your first love. First love is a hot love. First love is a honeymoon love. First love is a courtship love. So Jesus was using marriage as an illustration to explain his relationship with the church. Is that clear? So he says then, love can be what? Hot. And love can be what? It can also be what? Lukewarm. Neither hot. So if you now bring that into marriage context, you can find out that so many people are not, they're just negative. It's not hot. First love. Some are even cold. Some are trying to be lukewarm. And so there are issues in marriages. There are issues. And hot love is when you just met each other, when you're shacking each other, when everything she does to you is forgivable. She can even slap you. And your friend says, ah, your babe does slap you. No, nobody slap. No, nobody say, but you go in your thought, me say, I love you. Alpa! So no, you don't hear Alpa, now you hear the defect. That's when they say love is blind. At that point in time, that kind of love is blind. Blind to the flaws, faults, errors of the person you're in love with. You don't see them. But marriage opens the eye. If courtship love is blind, in marriage, shine your eye. You say, oh boy, oh boy, I don't care that I'm on bone. I don't care that I'm on bone. Make that God pray for you. Not my bone I carry, not your bone you carry. Now your bone you carry. Now your bone you carry. Because it's the marriage of Maha. You're Maha. Your love was blind then. Now it's open now. What happened? The man is no. I now sleep in the living room. Because at night, the snoring is like singing. I'm in trouble. Praise God. Praise God. Now they chop. Give her one bowl of rice. He finished. I said, more, more. But in courtship, the man would just go, it's okay, I'm okay. Marriage is a chop. God of heaven. The nature of love, it grows. That's why Matthew 24, verse 12 or 14, he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax. So you see, nature of love, it can grow what? So when you are married, you don't assume the love will be hot. No, you have to be finding it. Thank you, sir. You have to keep it hot. That was my own mistake. I just assumed it would be long hot. The third year, it wasn't as hot as the first year. Fourth year, fifth year, by the sixth year, things are broken down between my wife and I. To talk was not becoming a problem. I said, why is this thing like this? Is this marriage? Fella is right to be a co-wo. What is happening here? You know, fella said, Igbeyawo, Beya, Kowo, you are looking at Iya, Iya, Iya. Don't mind him. So I said, no, this one is Igbeyawo. I'm not going to suffer. I now began to say, okay, how will this love I have for my wife grow? Or the one she's got for me grow? But we'll just both stay apart and we'll just assume it to grow. I went back to what I used to do that made it to grow. So I started to reach out to her. I started with sending texts, I love you, I miss you. I was shocked at the response. Hey, whoa. She would send back, oh, love you too, darling. She does? Why did you say it before? Why did you say it before? I miss you. I miss you, Jen. I don't speak with God today. Me too. So I just knew, okay, somebody has to do something. Because you guys are bloody lazy guys. You're not romantic. So I started to take her out more. I say, outing must be more. Gifts must be more. And every time I do four things, she does 10 things back. Because women are the finest responsive people you can find. They respond so well. Clap for women in church. Respond so well. Their heart, women, if you treat them right, you are the you are blessed. Women, treat them right. Ah, if I do two, she'll give me 20. I'm like, yeah. Bombe. How come you are ordinary before? How come she was ordinary before? Because God created them to respond. Created us to initiate. We are meant to initiate. They are meant to respond. If you see a situation where the woman is initiating and man is responding, there is crisis in the marriage. That's not the role of a woman. We are to initiate. A man should go to meet a woman. The woman will come back and say, thank you. So I had to do it. And I knew, bam, we came back. Trajectory went up. Until tomorrow, it's the same method I'm using. When you sense that it's going, no, I like a ball or grow cold. You do something, you get a response. You do something, you get a response. And you're both in love with each other. I know you're in love. You must stay in love. What do I do to stay in love? That's always the question people ask me. What do we do? I just told you what you do to stay in love. Responsibility on a man. Woman will respond. If you see a woman does not respond, then there's a problem. Because women will certainly respond. Praise God. So, it tells us that that's why in Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. I like it so much. Songs of Solomon, read for me. Chapter 8, verse 7. Song of Solomon. The man who married how many wives? 300, 700 concubines. The man that can teach on love. Many waters! Cannot do one. Can you say love? The nature, I'm giving the nature of... If you, all of you here understand the nature of love, then you know how to treat love. See love like a fire. Many waters cannot quench love. That is the hot love. Let me explain. This is Romeo and Juliet. Many waters. Now look at this. Let's look at. Neither can the floods drown it. Daddy, if a man, Jenkins, would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Let me explain that to you.
Let's say this man is so much in love with you. Another person wants to come and take it. Take that woman. Let that man that wants to come and take that woman from you buy his entire house. Spend money. Ego, cash. Give that woman. He said that money to that woman that's in love with you would be contemptible. Because there's love here. Money cannot be equated with love. That's what he's saying there. And that's Solomon saying that money cannot be equated with love. Now, I don't know about Nigerian girls. I don't know. Gentlemen, am I right? Am I communicating? I don't know about Nigerian. But the Bible tells me that there is, if a woman is in love with a man, if another man comes with a lot of money, say, forget it. Not in Lagos. You see, Pastor Chris is saying Lagos girls. Is it true that there's no love in Lagos? Do you get the point? Because all these girls, they measure love with money. And that was saying, true love, money cannot buy it. He says, many waters cannot quench it. One, much money cannot buy it too. That's what he's saying there. Many waters cannot quench it. So much money cannot buy it. That's what he's saying there. I don't know about that one because you know that girl that, don't let me go there. I don't want to come. I don't want to go there. Now, Nasabi. Hey, I don't go there. She cried today. I said, go there. I don't want to go there. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Things that can fuel the fire of love. Many things. I'm going to iniquity and carnality that can cause love to grow cold. No matter how much a man loves you, if you do certain things, the man's love will grow cold. And I've seen it happen in church. And those marriages break. Because either of them are not doing the right things. The love will grow cold. Now, if the man be angel, he will grow cold. As I'm saying, a foolish woman plucks the thing down. I want to teach women not to be foolish. Men not to be stupid. Because a foolish man too exists. That will destroy his own house. And you church people, don't be deceived though. You see, this modern generation, these people are very funny. You see, in our own time, divorce was no option. Now, your own time, divorce is okay, acceptable. And that's why you should be careful to marry a Christian. A Christian. Because he can throw you out. Except you don't mind being thrown out. Or you two don't mind throwing them out. It's a serious issue. People don't work on their looks anymore. Looks, I wrote here, I said things that fuel fire of love. Looks, especially with women. Men must look good, but women must ensure they look good. Gooder. And goodest. I'm serious. People just ignore. We're not Christians. We're not Christians. We carry the Bible. Even if I look anyhow, I won't wear makeup, he will still love me. Food. I wrote food. I know men that have been angry that their wives don't take care of them for food. Food. Woman be one only. Food. How can you not give me food? I'm not saying cook. Just cook. Give me food. Your generation is different. Give me food. Why should you not give me food? Eve gave her them food. It was a bad one, but she gave. Eve gave apple. The man had apple. Because the man had died. But this, she gave apple. Sarah gave. Sarah cooked. Abraham said, Sarah, we have guests. Go and cook the lamb for the proper lamb. Even if you don't have to cook, pretend you care about the food. Pretend small. Honey, are you okay? Have you eaten? Do you like it? What would you like tomorrow? Would you like me to give you fish? Pretend. How can you say go to the kitchen? Tell your husband, go to the kitchen. Go and find something. She be taking indomie. A man came to me, reported his wife. He said, for one more thing, indomie. You come and walk, indomie. You want to indomie my life? Indomie. The man was reporting his wife to me, and I said, what is that? I said, I'm too tired. Do that, it's indomie there. Indomie. It's wickedness in high places. Indomie. The poor man complained. He got that. He complained to me. Sir, it's indomie. It's indomie. Cook. I've spoken about looks, about food, gifts. Buy gifts for each other. Buy gifts. Gifts have ways of just making people happy. Send gifts. Could be tom-tom, could be pencil, could be... Buy a gift. If you don't know, come and meet Mama. Mama will teach you how to buy gifts. Buy gifts. I'm teaching you how to keep your fire burning. Every week, he must buy a gift. For young couples, every week. If it's 15 naira gift, buy it. Could be apple, come back. Honey, get sort. Ta-da! I'm telling you. Tom, you see, you package it. It's the romantic thing behind it. You get Tom, she say, what is it? Sweetheart, I have something for you. What is it? Careful. Close eyes. He's thinking he's going to get a car. Then, ta-da! Give him apple. From the bottom of my heart. A good man will eat it with love. Are you with me? Do something. On my birthday, you won't give me a gift. I say you love me. Our anniversary, you forget. How can you forget our anniversary? Anniversary, wow. How? You say, we are Christians. We are born again. No, they don't hide under the cloak of Christianity. Does that make us to be inhuman? We're not Christians. We're born again. Heaven is my home. Come on. Go there. Go and live there. Why are we wasting money? Don't you love me? Must I give you a gift on anniversary to show I love you? Yes. Give me a gift so you love me. Don't come and Christianize everything we are doing at home. He say, in the morning, carry Bible. You have to carry Bible. You must carry gifts. Carry gifts. I give my wife all kind of gifts. Go to my house. You see, gifts galore. She buys me gifts every time. Good, the bad, the ugly. I was in Abuja last week to give her a gift. So I was coming back, I forgot my pair of socks in Lagos. She said, only I bought you a sock some months ago. I said, really? She said, I've not presented to you. She has all kinds of gifts for me, prepared, bought, hidden everywhere. So she just pulled that one out. I said, I bought this for you. I said, when? Beautiful socks. I said, lovely, thank you, honey. As I put it, it's not my size. I said, honey, it's not my size. He said, wear it like that. Forget it, wear it like that. I love you. I said, wear it like that. I want it. He was keeping something. I want his love gift. I want it like that. On my side, love gift. And I enjoyed it on the plate. I was sharing about it. It's my socks. Because he blended with my tire. You know, blend my tire. She brought it out. But the key issue that she says she bought those gifts long ago, she kept them for me. There's no day I go to the house. I want a tie. I bought you a tie some years ago. She'll bring it out. She bought me a belt once. I didn't know. She kept it. Buy gifts. But it annoys me. When you go for cancer, I say, when last did you buy a gift? They say 3 years ago. Buy gift. No wonder. The love is dying. You're killing it more. Buy gifts. Love each other. It will be coming up. 50 naira, 100 naira, 500 naira, 1,000. Just keep buying things for each other. Buy things. You love each other. Buy things for each other. Don't be too stingy to yourself. I say, no, go buy a gift. The dowry will pay. Dowry will pay. I go borrow, pay dowry. I never finish paying the dowry. Pastor, make a bad gift. You can't gift again. I beg. He don't come. That dowry, now once in a year, I buy once in a lifetime. You pay dowry. That's a gift for 20 years. Praise God. So there are many more things here for married people. I won't mention it here for single folk. What you do to keep your love burning. But you have to keep your love burning. Because love grows cold if you don't fuel it. And that's the challenge we have in church, unlike the world. In the world, they discuss this more often. In the church, we discuss only Jesus and heaven. We have to start discussing love can grow cold. It is the nature of love. If you get that right, marriages will be better. Because the man and the woman would know that indeed we have affections for each other, but this thing is not set in autopilot, auto growth. There's nothing like auto growth. You must work on growing each other's love. You must work on it. You know, buying gifts, making love, sacrifices, food, looks. Those are the things that make you feel like, I love my wife, I love my husband. You have to work on it. Don't hide under the cloak of Christianity, please. Let me just share two or three things that can cause your love to go cold and also break your house. Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, the foolish one plucks it down with her own hands. And there are so many foolish women that I've seen in my generation in counseling that have indeed plucked their own homes down with their own hands. Many. They just would not listen to counsel. There's a time to be quiet. There's time for everything. There's a time to say sorry. When you say sorry, then it's sweet to the ears. When you say sorry, when it's not meant to be said, it becomes repulsive to the listener. When the guy has gone and has reported it to the whole world, the whole matter has gone out of hands, has gone to court, and has said, okay, honey, I'm sorry. 2 years late. 2 years late. And there are many cases like that that breaks my heart. And you wish you could have helped 3 years before. Because again, it's you that will bear the brunt of the pain and the agony and the grief and the depression and the despair and the frustrations. You bear it. Some of us will sleep at night happily, but we gave you counsels. You didn't listen to us. You didn't listen to us. The first thing is nagging. Right there, nagging and complaining. This is for women and men, both of us. Nagging and complaining. This is an iniquity. You know, it says, because iniquity will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So these are the iniquities that must not be found in marriages. If you find them in marriages, the love in that marriage will do what? Wax cold. Does that make sense? Because iniquity shall abound, the love that I will have towards you shall wax cold. Nagging. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 9. And Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 19. Proverbs 21, verse number 9. Please help somebody. Let me project it. Proverbs 21, verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than a brawling woman in a white house. No matter how large the mansion is, the man said, give me corner shop. Give me corner shop. It is better to dwell in a small corner there than a massive mansion. Yet, with a woman that will brawl and nag. Because whichever room you are hiding, the lady's nagging will hit you there. She will find you. Where is that foolish man? Where is that man? Where is that? You will say, oh, the world today. Verse 19. Give me verse 19. The same Proverbs 21. It is better to dwell in the wilderness. It made it worse. In Agiju, than a contentious and angry kilo day. So for this wilderness, better. You can imagine, man, see, wilderness. From corner room, the wilderness. Because if he finds you in corner room, go to wilderness. Run to wilderness. Nagging. Hey, have you seen a nagging man, a nagging woman? So men now go, not the women. Nagging men are even worse. Nagging man. Have you seen nagging man? Useless people. They have no shame. They get home and see fault in everything at all. From the carpet to the furniture to the souvenir to the kitchen spoon to the... You want to kill her? Nag on everything. Nag about what she did yesterday. Nag about how she spoke today. I'm telling them. Because I'll still go and tell your people too. Because nagging, whichever, I'm telling you. I was a man that went to the house once, and the woman was just, you could tell she was tired. The woman was the one even making more money. And the man will go to work and come back, making half the wages of the woman, and he will still nag. She didn't come on time. The food came 20 minutes late. It was not served right. The children were not bathed well. In the morning, the bathroom she used was not cleaned up. The bed was not made right. There was nothing in church. The way she greeted the friend there was not good. I think the head usher likes her. And then the way so the woman had the deris. Then she nag. Even nag to the pregnancy. Even this pregnancy, I'm not sure I'm the old nag. At one point, I called him. I said, Uncle, is there anything good that this very bad woman has done? Good thing, Abby. I don't know. I can't find one. No, I said, but the woman married you. She married you. That's a good thing, except for the devil. So we can tell her you married the devil. I said, okay, that's it. I said, the woman married you. That's a good thing she did. Except for the devil. Maybe it's the devil, so it's a bad thing. So it's a bad thing she did by marrying the devil. Contentious, nagging. There are many things you just overlook. Matured minds don't complain about everything they see. Some things you just do yourself. Pick it up and just put it there. Who put this thing here? Who put it here? And there are only two people living in the house. So, what are you talking about? Who put this in here? Who is the person that put this there? Can you imagine? And only two of you living in the house? So, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We know you are talking about. Who put it there? You're talking about your wife. And she says, oh, it's me. How can you put it here? Can't you see? Anybody can ship her for? Who's everybody? It's only you and I living in this. Why is anybody can tip her for? Oh, help me take it. Now we can say I'm doing something else here. Don't pick it up for me. And then that small thing for the next 3 days is nagging. He will not stop. So the woman is like, that's why he did that time. You remember that 4 days ago? That thing you put on there. They keep nagging. That's a terrible man. But if you miss a nagging woman. Wilderness. Your man said wilderness. I'm going to wilderness. I'm going to the wilderness quickly. Praise God. So we should be careful not to nag. It will let your love grow cold. No matter how much guy loves you or she loves you, they keep nagging. It's like magnifying my little flaws. You make them look so big as if they are unforgivable or unpardonable sins. The man or the woman will stop loving you. The love will grow cold. For no man wants to be reminded of his own flaws every day, every time. Nagging, quarrelsome, always complaining, murmuring. Overlook it. Take your eyes off some of those things. Do them yourself. Ignore. Why must you mention it? Grow up. Greed and envy. I'm going to close very soon. Greed and envy another iniquity that can cause love to grow cold. Have you seen? I put it as greed and envy here. Because if you compare yourselves with your neighbors, you tell your spouse, can you imagine what they're doing there? Is greed driving you? Are you envying somebody else? This is the scripture I saw many years ago. I think Proverbs 27. Give me verse 5. I was studying Proverbs 27. Quickly. Verse 5. Proverbs 27, verse 5. Not this one. Verse 4. I think it's verse 4. Because that is why I said it. Now, open rebuke is better than secure. Verse 4. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. Who is able to stand before envy? I read it just because, how can you say envy is worse than it? So I said, what was in this man's mind? Who is able to stand before envy? To say, this is a different envy. Envy. Are you with me now? Who is able to stand before envy? Some of us are just so greedy. We're never satisfied with what God has given to us. We just want more. We're pushing our spouses to go and get more, to go and be more, to go and make more, to go and steal more, to go and grab more, to go and have more. Why? Why? At some point, the love person asks for you will be growing cold. You may not know it. Because he's doing his best within his capacity. Celebrate me for who I am. This is what I can provide now. Stop saying, your neighbor, your brother, your cousin, your sister, your pastor. What is your business with those people? I'm your husband. I'm your wife. Accept me for who I am. And stay with me. Now, another one here, which is not very important to some, is receiving without giving. Love gives. Love gives. Love that only receives without giving, that love will grow cold in the heart of the other person. If you're always on the receiving end, you never give back to your spouse. How can you say, look, that person will grow weary in doing good. We grow weary in loving you. We grow weary. The love will wax cold. To wax cold. Without you knowing it, to wax cold. Now, number 4. Lying and deceit. If your wife catches you lying the first time, forgives you. Second time, overlooks it. Third time, fourth time, fifth time. That love will grow cold naturally. I can't trust him anymore. Distrust will go. We're creeping. Same with the husband towards the wife. I'm telling you, these are the little things, little foxes that spoil the vine. Little foxes that spoil the vine. It will just begin to grow cold without you knowing. You may still be at home once in a while, gives you things, but the love is growing cold. And when it grows cold, then you now start seeing some reactions. It might take a while for those reactions to be expressed, but they will be expressed. They will be expressed. Lying and distrust. Lying tongue is not good for the home. Be open to each other. If you love each other and you're open, you will not be ashamed of each other's nakedness. Meaning your weaknesses. I won't be ashamed. I will just tell me how it is. I will still love you the same way. I'll still embrace you the same way. Don't try to act up at home towards me. Don't act up. Don't act up. Some men lie about how much they're earning before they get into that relationship. So they keep lying. They're not married. They live on a different wavelength with their spouses. Tell the person the truth. This is my salary. Don't go and lie and say, I earn X amount of money when you don't end up to that. Because the chicken will come home to roost one day. It will. It will. Be open, be sincere. Be honest. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening. Worship with us at Foundation of Truth Assembly Headquarters on 40/42 Imam Dauda Street off Eric Mosu Lere, Lagos. God bless you.